This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Great Connect. I'm Carrie Allen, founder of The Human Array and host of The Great Connect podcast. And I am elated today to bring to you back Amy Pons. So as I've mentioned in the trailer for the rebirth of The Great Connect, Amy and I started The Great Connect a couple of years ago, and I can't wait to have this conversation and bring her back onto the podcast now. And so, you know, and I mentioned this in our trailer too, Amy also has her own podcast, Women Making Move, which is so amazing. You should definitely check it out. And today we are going to dive into millennials in the workplace. So, quick backstory, and then we'll jump into the conversation. So Amy and I have known each other since seventh grade. And when we were in the corporate world, we actually worked at the same organization at the same time, Babies R Us. And so I think this conversation is like so amazing because we are both millennials of the same year-ish. And went through our corporate growing up experience as millennials together and actually had similar real life experiences because we were in the same organization. And so talking about millennials in the workplace, I think is going to be extra special in this conversation to see it through both of our eyes in the same workplace and then also looking to our other roles in different organizations. So Amy, welcome. So excited to have you here.
What's up? I'm Amy, founder of Unlock the Magic Coaching and Healing and all the things. I'm in my 27th day of my menstrual cycle today, and actually I'm like starting a little early, so I'm a luteal bleed phase, so I'm a little bit like my estrogen and progesterone are bottomed out, so I'm my least filtered today, which is amazing. Not that I am a lot of filtered ever.
Yeah. We just get the extra special version
anymore. Yeah.
That's amazing. And I'm really excited for that because I think this conversation is one there I really want to lean into that, like, that energy of like, let's be real and have a little fun with this conversation at the same time. So, where I want to kick us off is, I want to share a little story, and I don't even know if you, where you were when this occurred for me, but I went to a conference at Babies R Us, and we sat in this gigantic ballroom, and in the gigantic ballroom, they were talking about how to handle millennials because we were entering the workforce, and I distinctly remember sitting in this ballroom being like, does anyone know I'm a millennial? I feel a little bit like I'm like a fly on the wall. And should I be hiding? Because what they're saying is not necessarily super nice. And at the same time, I'm like, but yeah, why would you see it any way different? And so it was just this very like bizarre experience for me to sit as somebody who's gonna have to manage millennials and that they operate differently. And how do we handle that? So that was very early in my career. And so I think back about that and like how we entered the workforce and all the ripples that we created. Like, what was it like for you? Did you have any experiences like that where?
Was I there? Would that have been when I was there? Was I still in Springfield?
I think you were probably still in Springfield. I can't remember.
Also, if it was like a corporate versus field thing, whatever. But first of all, the notion that millennials needed handled, I don't vibe with that, first of all, because no humans need handled. That suggests that, and here's where I sit. Personally, on the whole brand presence, executive presence, personal brand, et cetera, all the things. Okay. And I know a lot of geniuses out there that do work on those things. And what I experienced was that I was being told to be a certain way to maintain or achieve those executive presence, brand presence, or person, whatever. I wasn't able to be this. You know, and we were just talking about it earlier today, where a lot of times my passion, my fire, the whole way I move in this world was always misconstrued in the workplace, always. And I was stuck between this, damn, Amy, you're crushing it, and be less. You're too much. So I was constantly, do you know how exhausting that was? And I'm like,
Yeah.
can I just be fucking big and get shit done? Like, can I? And the answer was no for me throughout.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's really interesting to hear you say that because my very early career, I had so much strength in a leadership capacity that I went up against similar, which is like this juxtaposition of some people telling me, you're crushing it, you're amazing. And then at the same time, having so many people say, yeah, but you're like 20 something. What does she know? And you're a young blonde girl. What does she know? What does she know? What does she know? Right. And so it was just this constant dance of like being young and capable, and at the same time, like not being told you don't know enough yet. It's like, but why? If I'm doing okay and I'm doing well, why?
When you went to corporate for babies, I became then the youngest DPS in the nation. And so I was constantly reminded by our friend that it's like, okay, just be mindful. There were certain people that were not condescending about my age, but then there were also, Amy, be aware of your age. So, like, the age was less for me, it was more about the way I wanted to unabashedly show up. At the same time, I was entering the workplace. So I've started as a right out of college, I started as a bank teller and then applied for a marketing associate job at the Bank of Springfield, which brought me into the marketing world. And I remember being on the teller line and I didn't want to work Saturdays. I had this crush on this executive guy and I wanted to be like a quote unquote professional. So I'm like, let me get off this teller line. And once I got into the marketing associate role, I loved it because that team, although we did have a toxic VP, like he literally threw a chair across the room because I couldn't get into like a program one day. What the fuck? I was 24. I was like, what's happening? But my immediate boss, she was amazing and like built a really cool team. And it was just a fun little gig for a while, for about a year until I went to babies. But it was more for me. I grew up in a home that was extremely volatile and always, I was always hypervigilant around what was going to happen next. So entering the workforce, I felt comfortable and familiar with conforming to someone else's expectations so that I could be safe. So that actually felt like good for a while and fine. But I also had this like wild something to prove.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I am good. I do have value.
Yeah.
I always wanted to like tell people that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting when you say that, like the thing that comes in for me is very much that, like, I think the energy at the time felt like you can't have something to give until you've done X, Y, and Z, right? Like, the energy very much for me entering the workforce was literally get as many years of experience under your belt. It doesn't even matter if you've done anything worthwhile. It was just check year boxes. And I remember so many times having this conversation with my dad of like, well, I want to apply for this job, but it says you have to have 5 years of experience and I only have two or three. And I was like, I don't understand why there's this arbitrary number of 5 years of experience. What is that going to get me if I am capable of doing this job right now? I don't understand.
And I do think that's unique about the person who hired both of us, mm-hmm. is that the eight, that wasn't necessarily as important. It was more about like, they saw.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The potential.
And I think that's kind of the bipolar experience that was that time, at least in my, like, as I sit here seeing it, like, that's how it just felt all the time, was that it was a bipolarness, right? That like, you were getting reflections of, you're doing a great job, you're doing a great job, you're doing a great job. And then there's also this cloud of like, not enough, not enough. Don't, you haven't done enough. You haven't checked enough boxes, whatever those arbitrary things were. And it's like, I can look back and see so many good things and at the same time see how incredibly hard it was. And it's just like this very challenging experience to even look back on. And, you know, I tend to look at things with rose colored glasses. And so, you know, I look back and I'm like, it was so amazing. Like I see all the good things. I mean, I think we all do look at hindsight, and at the same time, I also remember how really hard it was and how many people I had to even manage, or even my bosses that would say to me, well, why you? Why do you get to do this? Because they had put in X number of years, or they'd done X number of things. I'm like, I don't know. How do you answer that? I don't know. I have a skill set, but that wasn't a thing yet.
No. And I experienced that when I actually, for those who don't know, as Carrie explained, for babies, you left a district role and went to a corporate role. I stepped into that very same district role, and many folks wanted that role. So I was walking into a team that didn't like me, wanted to, you know, it was wild. It was, and back then, I look back, I wasn't a confident leader. So I would often pull rank, which, yikes, blanket apology to anyone whoever received that from me. I know better, so I do better now. but it was also my defense of like, let me show what I can do. And was the, and it goes back to like, if I often think about, this is the first time in our lifetime that there's four big generations in the workplace at once. Back then, what it's interesting, you say like millennials were entering the workplace. So traditionalists were probably at the tail end, then boomers, probably mostly boomers, were mid or high level management, X, of course, then us. Now, so what I feel didn't happen specifically is, and someone recently said this to me, they're like, I feel like the last 100 years snuck up on us. Like, if you look back 100 years ago, we were solving for, what was it? Birth mortality rate. Well, we fixed that. And now, well, well, that was the focus. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, we got better at that. And now we're bursting at the seams with boomers. Mm-hmm. And they were raised by folks from the Depression of fear, scarce, lack of, scarcity, lack. So that's their entire foundation. And the only way that they feel safe, here's my philosophy, boomers grew up in a time where it's like, let me show what I can do so that you do care about me. Whereas millennials Z are like, millennials broke the dam so that Z could come in and say, no, you show me you care, and then I'll show you what I can do. And then like there's X in the middle. But this energy, intergenerational trauma wounds, but also like there's no space to be had. I wish what I want to happen is like all big four get together and be like, what do you need? And what do you need? And what do you need? And why are you pissed? And why are you a dork? And just like have it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so here's what I will say too, which is, I think one, that's happening. Two, this is something that I've studied for a really long time, both reading and researching, but then also observing, especially in the workplace, which is the generational theory from Strauss and Howe. And this may not be something you're familiar with, but you articulated it because we can sense it, right, in these generations. And what they articulated is that there are four different archetypes of generations: the prophet, the nomad, the hero, and the artist. And can you guess which one is the millennial generation?
I already forgot the first two you said.
Prophet, nomad, hero, and artist.
Hero.
Hero. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And so here's the definition of the hero generation. Hero generations enter childhood during an unraveling, a time of individual pragmatism, self-reliance, and laissez-faire. Heroes grow up as increasingly protected post-awakening children, come of age as team-oriented young optimists during a crisis, emerge as energetic, overly confident midlifers, and age into politically powerful elders attacked by another awakening.
Okay. I did.
I mean, for reals.
Recession. We went through. I mean, here's the thing, too. Somebody said the other day, they're like, how many times have you been fired? I've never been fired.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, and you could call babies it wasn't even a layoff. It was a riff. And like, I was kept in the stores. You were retained. So yes, but there was a reduction in force, and like we got rid of marketing, which is anyway another probably episode. But we have that was like that took the. I mean, for me, in that moment in time during the recession, like while yes, I kept employment. It was a wild time. So
it was super wild, right? Like we learned a shit ton during that.
It was like
and.
I remember you calling me and giving me a heads up from the corporate lens, and I just like sobbed for days.
I know.
Because we were just, and those who didn't know, I feel so bad. They got everybody on a national call and said, y'all are done. No, that's not how we do things. That is trauma.
Do you remember? So my boss at the time, I had said like, I know that what the news is going to be when you come in and shut the door and sit down. And so I said, so when it was official that it was happening, right? Because I knew in advance, but like it hadn't officially been like mandated. My boss came in and was like, I'm going to shut the door now. And I was like, oh, here we are. This is the moment. Okay, thank you, right? Like it was like a funny moment in a lot of ways, because I was like, I had been saying like, I'll know when that moment is because you'll come in and shut the door. That's when all the bad news happens. And so they like played into that. But I think it's really interesting to hear that description, right? Because, well, I see it and I see it as like, well, hell yeah, let's empower ourselves, right? Because we made it through all of that stuff. That was really hard. Everybody learned a lot of things about how the corporate structures work, the financial stuff, like all the craziness that happened in that period of time. And here we are again at another moment of great awakening. And how are we going to handle it? But what I love most, if I pick apart all the words of that description, is post-awakening elders. Into thoughtful post-awakening elders.
And it, but yes, and it's like, what is X up to during the post-awakening? Because also, I'm gonna, okay. There is something that annoys me about every generation, including my own. And I get really frustrated when, one, people generalize that all of a generation is like one thing. Two, you make an assumption about you. Let me, okay. I feel that many of the X generation, they're in it for themselves. Many of my last workplace, which I will say was very hostile, very toxic. Every person in a leadership position in the boomer or X generation was not interested in making anything better for those who came after them. It was more about self-preservation. Let me get my bag and then leave, like an escape with, and then like wounded, escape wounded. And
Yes.
that came through is like literally women who I would look up to and look for like for help or advice or some anything. They're like, you need to stop crying. You have it better than I did. That's not an answer. That's not at all the vibe in which we're moving at this pace. We're not doing that anymore.
Which is so millennial of you. Can I read the Gen X description? I mean, like, you can't make this shit up, right? Because you are just nailing it right on the head. But if we can see, like, what this generational theory is all about, is that there's four generations and that they stack on top of each other, they push each other, right? So they play into each other. And then we go through the cycle again and again and again, and that the cycles are also repetitive, which makes sense, right? We have sun cycles, we have moon cycles, we have planetary cycles, we have all these things. And so if we then look at the lens of the generations together, I think it's really fascinating. So the name even of the Gen X generation is Nomad, which is what you just
Oh, the
described.
lost. Like they're out there. They're just lost among
Yeah,
the, because,
right?
and that's unfortunate. I don't want anyone to be
Yes,
lost. I don't want anyone to
totally.
feel hidden. But
So it's,
they also annoy me. Okay, go ahead.
yeah, totally, right? So for heroes, they're a civic generation, whereas the nomads are a reactive generation because they enter childhood during an awakening, a time of social ideals and spiritual agendas when young adults are passionately attacking the
Oh,
established institutional order,
70s,
right? So that's what
70s,
they're
yeah,
saying.
they say.
And then nomads grow up as underprotected children during this awakening, come of age as alienated post-awakening young adults, and become pragmatic midlife leaders during a crisis and age into resilient post-crisis elders. And like, if you hear those words, you're like, right, their experience of those moments, right, those cycles of awakening and crisis, et cetera, they hit at different moments in their life. And so, therefore, the outcomes are different for them. So, they're not meant to be civic and action oriented. They're meant to be resilient. They're just holding it together. And they've done a lot of really good things in that way. And they're not us.
That's where I come back to beautiful. Like if I look at all the generations from a like 4D lens, you annoy me and you were never like you're the exact, you know, you're achieving exactly what your role in this place and time is, of course. And it's I share this through my newsletter, the fight for everybody, the quote unquote fight. First of all, I don't the vibe will be different for everyone every single day, every single moment, and you'll go from like right now I'm in an energy of like get off your duff and do something, but also that's not going to be even my vibe some days. So I
And I think if you think about the X generation, like, do something is resiliency for them. Like, I need to be able to make it through each of these things. They're not the generation that's gonna like then not all of them, right? Like,
no, fair, but also that in the mindset of just making it through, they are perpetuating the systems of oppression, especially in the workplace. That's what frustrated me so much. I'm like, what are y'all doing? And like, boomers created it to be able to keep business as usual. X didn't know how to do anything differently. Millennials came in, and this looked like, Carrie, for me as a millennial, is like my 20 years in corporate America, it hurt. Yeah. Yes, there were moments of joy. Yes. And mostly it hurt. It hurt bad until I became an alcoholic and was just numbing everything so that I could just get through, which led into my spiritual awakening of like, oh, I'm so okay. Okay. I'm on the forefront of like ushering in the balance. Right. So to create space for Z and this beautiful everything that they're going to create for the next 100 years. So,
and
like, I love Z. I don't get annoyed by that. Well, not some of them. Yeah, go ahead. And what?
Thank God that there's X to get you up and out of your shit so that you could do something.
Say more.
Meaning, if you didn't have all that hardness and difficulty, like, this is the point of the generational theory, right? Yeah. That like, we as a generation only have this action oriented because we experienced that in that way that is pushing us to act.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, it's like a yes, and I understand from like a 5D perspective, that's exactly what I needed. And at the same time, it frustrates me that any human feels they have power over any other soul, creature, nature, anything. That frustrates me. So
as it should, as
both,
it should.
So both, yes, absolutely. Yes. So that's why I always say, like, I'm not grateful for the abuse I endured. I am grateful for the, well, I'm a fiery Aries, so I'm just going to power through. I was meant to be put, like, stopped in my tracks.
Right, like, that's what I love about this theory is the ability to step out of the judgment of each of the generations. I mean, we're biased, right? Because we're millennials, so we're like, get off your ass and do something about it. Why are you still sitting in it?
Millennials are so good. We're so amazing, can we just say.
I mean, that's the theme of this podcast, is we are here, or not podcast, this series of episodes, it's like, we're here to save the world, because that's literally what the hero does. And the hero's journey in every movie and every book, every movie you've watched, every book that I've read. I'm just teasing. Books. I'm teasing you. I'm giving you a hard time. I have books.
I have books.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
No, but I don't have, I haven't, I mean, I, yeah.
Right. But the hero's journey is not rainbows and butterflies.
No.
And it's literally how every thing that we watch is written, is the hero's journey. The hero has to go through the hard part to learn a whole bunch of stuff, to then figure out what they're going to do to create change in the world. And that is the millennial generation. I'm not saying that it's right to treat people that way. And if you're going to change the world, you can't have a glossy, easy experience, because you don't know, there's nothing to change.
I'm finding an edge. I am so frustrated with the people throughout my entire career that just, had no wherewithal or capacity to treat others. Especially in a role where you were, had people in your charge, that you didn't get the gravity of that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get the gravity of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just kept recycling. because those types of people would bring in other those types of people that felt good. And now we're in this place and time where largely the 9-to-5 workplace is really, really inhumane and broken. That makes me sad.
Absolutely.
How dare they is what's coming in.
Yeah.
How dare they?
I know. I feel that. And because we feel that, we feel called to create change.
Yeah. And the change is different. Like I said, I was saying recently, we're in a space and time where it's more of like a, it's 111, a spiritual energetic revolution as it relates to, I wrote about this recently where I was at Walgreens and there was like an altercation at the checkout. And I went in to myself and I recited Ho'oponopono and I was able to neutralize the situation energetically. Not everyone can receive that, but that's our ask right now. Because as we head into the revolution, there's not going to be as much tolerance for like what may have been known as the peaceful protests that Boomer or X participated in. It will look different from Millennial and Z. And there won't be as much tolerance. Like, you'll be whisked away without question. We already saw it during the college campus protests and things like that. So it looks different in this time of heroism.
And I think we, and because of our experiences, because of all the generations that came before us and what we're here to call forward is the remembering that we can walk into that space, not say a word, and our energy in particular can heal others around us because we're doing the work to be able to raise the vibration just simply in presence. And to your point, like that's part of what I want this conversation to stoke for millennials, which is it's time to rise, people. It is time to rise. You are leaders and becoming leaders. You are starting to become the majority of the working individuals in this world, right? The directors, the leaders, all the titles and crap that I hope someday goes away and all, you know, we can talk about all that stuff another day. But it's time to create change. And it starts with each of us. And each person rising into a role in which they have the opportunity to lead differently. Like, we were born for this. Don't shirk away. Don't stay in the way it has been. You know it doesn't feel right. Stop it. Even in small ways, different ways. Be human. Be that leader.
Yeah, feel your feels.
Yeah. Allow the feelings to be real, that we're people. That it is overall well-being that makes each of us successful in our own way, which makes us work collectively, successfully together.
One of the things that I was unable to access even 3 years ago was separating or creating a separation, which work and life, or the way that we are living in life, is all the same life. And at the same time, back then, I was still achieving my worth or value through how I earned a living. So it's like, for me personally, I needed to have a hard disconnect in the vibe of today's my last day. And I didn't know what that was going to look like for a long time. So I say that because I was in a lot of ways that millennial leader in the workplace because I was the women's employee resource group leader So that was where I was flexing that muscle. So I still get reached out to by women at that organization of like, this ERG has never been the same since you left, et cetera. And I was trying in my day job to bring that energy that I was bringing to the ERG to my day job. And that was not only unwelcome, that was creating. I was the thorn in everybody's side because, in theory, they wanted it. In practice,
And I'd offer to you and to anybody else who's listening about this, because this is a really important point, right? Because we immediately go into our reality tunnel and our reality bubble of like, this is who I impacted. I was the thorn in everybody's side. And Amy, you have mentioned how many people reach out to you? How many ripples did you create and cast? Even if you felt like it was only 1% better than anybody else, the ripples you created by being 1% more far vast and wide that you will never even know. You will never even know, right? Which is why I even call up the millennials stronger, because there are so many of us. So many of us. Thankful for that baby boom that happened, because we are from them. There are so many of us. So we don't have to each do all the work. We each have to do our small part and impact our reality bubble. Because you may say, I didn't do enough, I didn't this, I didn't that. But the reality is the ripples that happen are changing the whole world. The whole world is responding to it. We talk about well-being, and I can go into the ick of all this stuff with the corporate well-being and oh, you got to be a part of it because it's going to be billions of dollars. Ick, 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 ick. The point is well-being, not, and financial well-being is important, but you know what I mean. Anyways, that wouldn't be a thing without millennials demanding and asking questions about why do we do it this way? Corporate well-being exists because of millennials.
I see that now that I was the catalyst. And to your point, like my departure and my abrupt departure sent a shockwave, like not even like a ripple, a shockwave, and that it's still, that still is aftershock, you know, of in some ways that I, that's still impacting, because I was that force of nature. So I shared my personal hurt because the millennials that are like, I have no idea because how to possibly, you might, the reality for you might be you're a millennial, mid-level management or higher, or even entry, whatever you are, wherever you are in the organization, you might feel, because you also know this bullshit moment that we were told back in corporate where it's like, you just need one voice. Yes, but and if that one voice is constantly, 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 constantly refuted, it, I see it as like a big torch just like closing in on itself, getting dimmer and dimmer. So I share that piece as well because yes, you create a ripple. Even one voice heard you, or even one ear heard you, and being so mindful of your own personal, unique magic, brilliance, light, because that consistent refute.
Oh, yeah. It's exhausting. You said it
That
before. It's exhausting.
leads you into a different pathway, which is like, what is my value? What is my worth if no one's listening? So it's again, always duality, always balance. And that's where to plug all that we're talking about, having someone walk alongside with you, because our brains are not meant to keep us happy. They're meant to keep us safe. So your whole, I'm talking root, sacral, solar, heart, throat are likely on fire. But your brain's like, we're fine. We're employed. We're getting a paycheck. We're fine.
Right. And I think one, as you say that, the thing that comes up for me that I think is super thematic for the millennial generation, and we cannot undervalue, and yet we can probably think of so many funny quips about this, is keep asking questions. Because we've been asking questions since the day we were born, right? I was just chatting to somebody.
Okay, so here's the difference. Here's where I feel. Your personality, your approach, you were able to. When I ask questions from a fiery Aries, you know what that looks like. Okay? That's where I got fire thrown back at me by asking questions. Or it would be, I would get like, just do it. And then it would become a thing. And I'm not suggesting you never had that, but like your demeanor, we're just different in that way.
Totally, we're different fires.
We're different fires. And so it just felt like when I was asking, they're like, why are you questioning my job? I'm like, well, what? And like nowadays I would be like, what did you hear? What did you hear me ask? Like, what? So it's wild to be on this. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'd only add one asterisk to that. The questions don't have to be asked out loud.
Fair. Oh, yeah, because I would always be like, in real time.
Yeah. And you took it right where you would take it, right? Which is like, I tell you to ask questions and you're like, okay, so why is the wall purple? And why do you dress like that? And why is your hair that color? And right. And I'm like, for me, and I think it's importantly, like our inner dialogue, it's okay and important to keep asking the questions of yourself and the situation. Doesn't mean you have to get that external response. You just keep asking the questions. We're the question generation. Hey, why am I driving 45 minutes to work when I can do everything at home?
Like a genuine.
Yeah.
Because honestly, admittedly, I am asked to be facetious and to fuck shit up and to annoy people in the past. Admittedly. Absolutely. Yeah. That's my vibe. And yours is like, can we just like literally think through this for a second? Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Where so we both fuck shit up in different ways and beautifully bring through to the way forward. So it's like, I'm gonna bring that fire and like burn everything down and get everybody out safely. Whereas you're like, okay, let's not burn it down right away. Like you're just, I don't know, different.
Yeah, yeah. No, totally.
That's the power of the millennials though.
100%, right? And so I think it's really amazing that we're having this conversation because the way you ask questions is different the way than I ask questions and different than every other millennial is going to ask questions. And yet thematically, we keep asking questions in our own way. And we have to, you know, pay attention to like, okay, where can we learn through how to be productive in our question asking? When are we actually trying to push buttons versus dying?
Oh, because like, I'll give you an example of something Carrie would never ask out loud. If someone comes to me and says something out loud to me around anything, whether intended or not, bigoted, misogynist, racist, any of those, I would say something like, why do you feel comfortable saying that out loud? Or how do you feel comfortable saying that out loud? That's something you would never ask.
No, I might question it in my head, but I'm never going to actually verbalize it.
And you would be like, oh, here we go. I don't know. My husband gets very uncomfortable when I approach people with those kinds of questions. He's like,
same geese.
I know, you both are like, oh my God. Well, but like, and
it takes all kinds.
If I am asking that question with clean energy and not trying to be an asshole, which these days I'm much more in the not trying to be an asshole. Back in the day, yes, when I was very wounded, I would be an asshole and poke buttons. Now it's like, oh, interesting how you feel comfortable saying that out loud. Can I understand?
Yeah.
I'm like not trying to be. So, and even that, is wildly uncomfortable for a majority of people.
You're sparking awareness for them.
But they don't want to be.
I understand. And like, your role is really important. The way you ask questions, really important. The way that I ask questions, really important. The way other people ask questions, really important, right? It's really about like, one of these styles is not going to be the thing that changes everything. Yeah. It is a collective experience that we need to step into. And so that's the call that I feel, is that we as millennials need to come together. We have one commonality, is our generation, period.
Yes. What would you say to someone, and I hear this in Boomer and X a lot, what would you say to someone that's like, we can't say anything anymore, everyone's so sensitive? And my typical response would be, is that true? Or have people been forsaking themselves for your comfort?
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of that response, they take offense. But I'm like, no, but that's the truth.
Well, I would also say that, are people sensitive, or are you projecting something onto them that you see within yourself that you haven't addressed for yourself? So therefore you feel uncomfortable using your own voice.
And they're going to be like, but I think either.
Well, I wouldn't say that out loud.
Oh, you wouldn't. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I would say, I totally say that out loud.
Well, I think
I'm not trying to like make anyone uncomfortable or force them on my agenda, but like, also I have a very strong archetype where like, I have an energy that if you say it, two things, well, many things. If you say something in front of me and it triggers something, that's something in me. I understand that both, and I'm probably going to, depending on where I'm at, for the collective, say something like, that's not okay to say out loud, or not that I'm judge and jury, but it's more about like, hey, maybe be mindful that that type of context is offensive to some.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it detaches my energy or emotion from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think when I hear your energy and your questions and that raw, authentic sovereignty, truly, that you're calling forward with your Aries energy, right? It is a different way to unearth what's there. And I'm going to unearth it differently than you're going to unearth it, right? And that's important, because for certain people, the way they interact with your unearthing is going to spark something for them. Whereas for me, it will be a different thing that it sparks. And I think that is the part that's really important to me about this collective energy, to keep doing those things and do our own work, right? Because you're right.
Always.
You say something because it sparks something in you. You have done enough work to be able to look into yourself first to say, can I respond to this in a way that is supportive versus me projecting back the wounding that it's triggering for me,
yeah.
Which is what we're moving through right now, is so much of this wounding coming up to be healed. And it has to come up to be healed, which is literally what the millennial generation is for. We are Pluto and Scorpio. For those that don't do astrology, they don't get that. There's another episode that you can listen to about the astrology of the millennial generation. But we're here to bring up that stuff. That's the questions. Bring it up. Why? Because I told you so. Well, why? I just want to know why. Okay. And why? And that's just even that is triggering. And we've been doing that for a really long time, and we're still doing it because there's still more to be unearthed.
Some of my favorite conversations these days are places where tensions can rise and it's a safe container to have it out, as it were. But again, on the other end of it is, wow, we just expanded together.
Yeah.
So I think that, full circle, beyond the generations, every single human has a role to play in this space and time. That's what we signed up for, all of us. And because we're in specific bands of time and different planetary alignments, yes, there are different things that we can ladder up to and like our roles. Never will I ever want to discount anyone as part of the generations, and understand that in some way another generation has either led to, triggered, or will trigger your own work of trauma.
100%, 100%, right? And that's for you, because when it happens, it brings it up to be healed and dealt with. And we're the generation that's like, stop pushing it back down. Why? Why is this coming up? Why is this happening for me?
During this episode, I felt it. During this episode, I felt it come up in my throat, and I was like, well, I'm going to cry. I'm going to let this happen. And I found an edge, another one. And I'll always tell you, it's like, oh, I feel amazing. I do feel amazing almost all day, every day now. And
they're still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just keep asking, okay, what was that? Why? What is that in me? And what's asking to be?
Yeah. Done? It's how, for me now, it's like the answer I asked earlier was, how dare they? How dare they? And the response now I feel is because they didn't know better.
You said it of yourself.
Yeah.
I did that because I didn't know better. And now I know better. And so I do better.
Exactly. I didn't know better. I was that leader at one point. Yeah. Oh, right, so that triggered in me because I was that. And then when I saw it mirrored back to me, I was like, oh.
Right. Right. And you have the energetic imprint to be able to say, oh, okay, I see that. Mm-hmm. And now I don't want to be that. I'm going to figure out how to not be that. And then I'm going to help others not be that. And that's the civic responsibility, the civic duty that the millennials bring in to this world right now. And I want to close us out by saying, millennials, we got this. Mm-hmm. Like we were made for this. We were born for this. I was born, my parents tried for 8 years. I got to be a millennial. It was freaking intentional. I couldn't be anything else, right? Because this is the imprint I needed to bring into this world. Let's do this. Like, this is what the human array, and I'm going to plug the platform and the community, because this is what we want to do, is bring together change makers, cycle breakers, change agents, the people who are here to say why and how can we do it differently, because that's what we're doing, so that those Gen Zers behind us, we love them because they're the artists and they're not here to do what we're here to do. And we have to do what we're here to do so that they can do what they're going to do. It is our responsibility to do this, and it is not easy work. It is not easy work. But we can do it together, and that makes it easier because we see each other. We see how hard it is, and we can hold each other through these moments, these growth edges, these experiences, these questions, and help us find them in ourselves and each other. To me, man, I get lit up. I'm like, yeah, we're here to change the world. Let's do it. We are ready. And our moment is here. I really believe it. We're all awakening. We're entering that midlife where you transition from learning, we've learned, we've been through it back and forth, to learn all the things, to understand the systems, to understand why they're so broken, to now step into, we can change that. So we're transitioning into the change that's meant to happen in the world right now. So let's do it. What are you going to change?
And it just all starts with your energy first. It's the whole oxygen mask thing. And with Unlock the Magic, I already know where your body is trying to go or calling you to go. We help your brain come along with to create the balance within yourself first, so that you can become that light. For not just yourself, but the collective. Like, that's how.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, you're so welcome. Can we just do a like nice little close of like, let's do this, millennials. Let's make it happen.
Let's
It's the
fucking do
time is
this.
here. Let's do this.
Underestimate me, that'll be fun, is what my sweatshirt.
Perfect. The perfect shirt for today. All right. We are off to change and save the world. Join us and come back next time because I am sure that there is more to this conversation that Amy and I need to dig into. So she'll be back to go deeper onto a variety of different things that we could have tangented on, but we didn't. And I'm proud of us for that. So we'll see you again next time. Have a good day.